All right, so it looks like we got everyone in here. So this welcome to this dating meetup. It's also the nonpartisan Red Pill Men's Group. Thank you everybody for coming today. And what we're going to do, and to join these meetups, these meetings, just go to tinyurl.com/redpillmen to register for future events. Next month, we're doing an event on the alpha male. Of course, women are welcome to come and participate. We need allies. So what we're going to do is, what we're doing is a book study, the book called The Rational Male by Rollo Tomassi. And we're doing this section on buffers against rejection in dating. So what I'm going to do is, all I do is sort of read the text to you. It's kind of short, all these little sections, and then parts about different buffers are kind of really short. It's not too long, and then we'll go ahead and just open it up for discussion. Sound good, everybody? All right. So under buffers, he says basically, let me get my reading glasses on because this text is so small. Okay. It says rejection is better than regret. And boy, see, 90% of the dilemmas that average frustrated chumps find themselves in, and a majority of men's concerns with the opposite sex, find their roots in the methods and means they use to reduce their exposure the female rejection. So we're talking a lot about men here, and we'll see if we can apply this to women as well, because women have these buffers as well, and some of them are the same. These are buffers meant to reduce the potential for this rejection of intimacy. Men, of course, aren't the only ones who use buffers. Women have their share as well, but I think it would be much more productive for guys to recognize this propensity in themselves and see the methods they use, and often ego invest in their personal psychologies to buffer themselves against rejection. So what we're really talking about here are ways to reduce the effect that rejection will have, the pain of rejection. So these are various different means in the modern world that we sort of reduce the pain of rejection from women. And the first one he talks about is, a guy will entertain a long relationship because it was based on a previous acceptance of intimacy, and being no longer convenient due to distance, the guy will cling to relationship because it's a buffer against potential rejection from new women, instead of accepting the relationship as being finished and maturely re-entering the dating pool. It's a perceived sure thing, even if only rarely rewarding. So what that basically means is that you get into these long-distance relationships because they're safe, and the woman's all the way on another part of the country. And if you stay committed to that woman in that situation, then you're basically just buffering yourself against rejection because you're not getting any intimacy out of it. I have a girlfriend in Honduras, for example, but we're not exclusive. We're not ready to be exclusive. Neither of us are exclusive. So while I keep that woman in Honduras because, she's, as far as I'm concerned, so far, she's looking good. Possibly I want to get married at some point, but I'm not committed to her. I'm not exclusive with her. There's no reason to be. I don't trust that she would be either, and I don't think she's ready for that commitment either. So these are some of the things that sort of come up for me on that one. Playing friends. So usually after a let's just be friends rejection, where the perception is the potential love interest might later become an intimate, is a buffer against further rejection by new potential females. compounded by a moralistic sense of duty to the actual friend. This buffer against further rejection is the misplaced dedication to the let's just be friends girl. Another variation of this is the Captain Save-A-Ho dynamic. There I would say that the thing is, a lot of these women are just saying, I want to be friends first. And don't bother to listen to that, you know, because they're just sort of putting you off. But anyway, I usually, you know, if I'm paying for a date, that's a romantic gesture. And, you know, I'm going to want to put my arm around the woman. I'm going to want to, might even try to kiss her. So don't tell me that we're just going to be friends first and then have me pay for the dates. And a lot of guys think, oh, let's be friends, and that's a stepping stone. No, it's a completely different type of relationship. It's not a stepping stone to a romantic relationship. It's a rejection of the romantic relationship and the replacement of that with a friendship. So, and then the Captain Save-A-Ho, so many guys are so macho, you know, and they think they have to come to the woman's aid, come to the woman's protection, pay for her, buy everything for her, be her savior. And that's the way we get used and taken advantage of. Emails, instant message, and text. Any technology that seemingly increases communication serves as a buffer. It keeps him in constant contact with his sex interest, which in and of itself is a mistake, but only serves as a buffer against her rejection. It's easier to read a rejection or hear one than to potentially be rejected in person. When digital communication becomes your preferred method of interacting with women, it's a buffer. Yeah, and that's one thing, just to add, with my girlfriend in Honduras, I can't be the one contacting her. Just every day, contact me every day. But hey, I can't be the one to contact you every day. I'll lose value in your eyes if I do that. You've got to contact me. And so it is a mistake to just contact this woman at her demand. Because the more you do that, and the less she contacts you, you're putting it all forth in the relationship. And she's losing interest in you because you're so appearing to her needy, except she'll do that to you and demand it at the same time, which you've got to be able to resist that. You know, don't contact that woman, you know, every day, you know. And then Facebook online dating. Businesses can be built upon the common insecurities and fear of rejection of both sexes. So in some sense, online dating is getting in between us. And I usually recommend get yourself out there, meet that person as soon as possible. You know, don't just text back and forth or communicate back and forth. Try and get her to meet just as soon as possible. Objectification of gender. Both sexes objectify one another. Women have a tendency to objectify men as success objects. It's easier to accept rejection from an object than it is to take it from a living, breathing human being. This is why we refer to intergender communication as a game. We score or we get shot down, not personally or emotionally rejected. And then he says, idealization of gender, the myth of the quality woman. This is the tendency to fixate on one woman, one itis, or one type of woman, a gender archetype, develops. So I think what he's saying here is that generally, both on the objectification, you know, you don't have to be rejected by a real person, but also this idea that we've got this good woman, I got to find this good woman. She fits into this category of good woman. But what we've heard Rollo Tomasi say is that the good woman is just the bad woman who hasn't gotten caught. And so we have to recognize that women are women, and while there are good people and bad people and better women and worse women, they all have some of these same tendencies that we need to protect ourselves against and be prepared to deal with effectively if we want to get what we want. And so the scarcity mentality, which is something I've had throughout my life, and it's absolutely horrible to feel that, you know, you can't get laid, or you're having trouble getting laid, or you have to pay to get laid. That really sucks. Deprivation is motivation, and by sticking with the sure thing as the only thing, the potential for new rejection is eliminated. It's the sort of take what I can get and be glad I got it, rather than looking. And that's so much of what guys go, we never get the woman we want. We're not dating the women we want. We're dating the women who want us, which I think we should focus on, the women who want us. But ultimately, we have to eventually find the woman we want. And this is the older women. And it goes into the older women scenario. This cougar dynamic debate has been done into irrelevancy. Older women acting in accordance with their conditions will be more inclined to accept the advances of younger men. In the same vein, very young girls will be more apt to accept the advances of older men due to naivete, and fat women are easier to become intimate with due to sexual deprivation. So when this becomes an internalized preference for a particular woman, developed by associating that particular type of woman with the minimization for potential rejection. So I've been there, done that, you know, fat women, old women, you know, and it is easier. Older women nowadays want younger men. I don't think anybody wants a 70-year-old man, not even a 65-year-old woman. A 70-year-old woman wants a 60-something-year-old man, while the younger women, you know, maybe older men because they have more money, can do more things, you know, whatever their motivations are. You know, but sometimes we think they're fat and they're going to be easy, but, you know, they can reject you too. You know, so, but anyway, leagues, the average frustrating chump tells himself, wow, is she out of my league? I would just get shot down, because I would need to possess A, B, and C to be her social status, physical status equal for her to even be interested. Ergo, the internalized idea of leagues is a useful rationalization buffer against rejection. Pornography, porn, as men use it, is a buffer against rejection. And that's a big issue I've studied for a long time. And there's a possibility that you can end up, it says, his reward for free, porn gives a guy a reward for free, a reward that should be her single best agency is rendered valueless. So, but I think that's a good thing. I think porn is, in some sense, is helpful for men. One, they're not at the mercy of women who will just bully them and push them around with their sex and then try and manipulate them using sex. And so it's good for them to have an outlet where they can stand up to women. Cause I think a lot of what we have to do, we have to learn to stand up to women, say no. And it's hard to say no to a woman when you're in a state of sexual scarcity and you're not getting anything, but we do need to learn how to say no, and we need to stop paying them for the stuff we pay them for. That includes prostitution, strippers, all that stuff. We need to stop that. But again, I also recognize, I recognize the need for it with sexual scarcity, women only choosing the top guys, and guys needing to get practice and being, you know, you need to be competent. Sexually, women expect sexual competence no matter what they tell you. So if you need it, you got to go get it. But I would recommend against it And I hate having to pay, and so I don't. I do my best not to have to pay. So buffers are generally the paths of least rejection that become ego-invested preferences. Buffers aren't so much about those preferences as they are about the rejection aversion motivations behind them. So he finally defines buffers here as passive least rejection. So buffers also have a tendency to compound upon themselves in that one tends to dovetail into another or more until one no longer realizes that they were originally rejection prevention methodologies and gradually become associated with your genuine personality. And he goes into this a little bit later, but that game sort of changes your personality, but that change is good. Change is good. It's an effort to improve, to change, but it change you, to have game means you have sort of a different personality to women. And then he talks about compensation. And the main thing he talks about is the short guy complex. The short guy compensating for his lack of height by being macho and hanging out with macho guys. Now, before I get told in so many words that this isn't always the case, or that not all girls are like that, exceptions to the rule, let me start by saying that this isn't the point of this section. What I'm on about is really the root of the infamous short man's disease. But the thing I want to say about that is that whenever women say, oh, not all women are like that, they always go, they're really making an excuse for those other women. They're defending those other women. Now, rather than saying, you know, those women shouldn't be like that, I understand what you're going through, you know, and it's unfortunate. They jump up and say, well, not all women are like that, as if we just have to accept the women who are, as if it's okay that the women, other women are, that a large majority are, because we have this idea of the good woman and the bad woman, and you just have to avoid the bad woman and get to the good woman. But that's not true. The good woman is just the bad woman who hasn't gotten caught. So there is no good woman and bad women. There are women, but there are worse women and better women. But when they say, not all women are like that, that's just a defense of other women. It's not a support of you and your experience. And then he talks about the just be yourself. But as I said, just being yourself is not going to work. These women are looking for something. You got to be what these women want. And then we're coming to the end here. It's a difficult enough task for an individual to critically assess their own personality, and even more so to effect changing it. But the final insult is to have others doubt the veracity of it. What others fail to see is that at some point in the development of their own personalities, they themselves had to compensate for deficiencies, discontentments, and prompts to grow and mature. So term positive masculinity, the crux of this is the genuineness of the social change. The average frustrated chunch are like a bunch of crabs in a barrel. As soon as one tries to get out, another one grabs it, pulls it back in. So in order to change, it's sort of a societal, he calls it a societal cock block, the pickup artist skills, psychology, positive masculinity are compensation for defenses, deficiencies. So anyway, so now he's talking just adapting to game, not being yourself, changing your personality in the ways you interact with women, and interacting with them in person rather than just over the internet or by text. So that's it. That's basically it. So Do you have any comments?
Well, I have a question for you, Mr. Richard.
Yes.
See your last name?
Proceda. Yes.
Proceda. So how did you, I don't know much about, I didn't do my research into coming into this group.
That's
I just
okay.
said the title and it got me in. I was like, I'm really interested. It had nothing to do with politics, but I was like, I'm interested in this.
Okay.
So if you don't mind me asking, what started, what got motivated you, inspired you to do what you're doing now?
Okay, so I'm a survivor of fairly severe sexual abuse, and I had a lot of problems in my youth with trying to meet women and being around women. I ended up studying feminism in college, and I that was where I needed to be. I had a transformative mystical experience in that class, and I decided to minor in the study of women's and men in society. And I started a feminist anti-pornography group called People Against Pornography. I wrote a book on, it's somewhere here, on which examined a textbook on social attitudes and laws in different countries around the world or regions around the world about sexually explicit materials. And so I did that. And then, I still didn't had struggles, you know. And then I was dating a woman. I wasn't really dating. It was just another one of those relationships that I really didn't want to, you know, it wasn't going to go anywhere. I was coming not to like the person. And, eventually she went outside the relationship on me. But that was expected. It wasn't really exclusive anyway. But the whole thing was I suddenly started doing this research on YouTube, and I ran on dating coaches. I thought, you know, I needed dating coaches, stuff like that. And you have dating coaches on YouTube you can go to. And then I started to discover, you know, well, how women really are and understand their dark nature. And understand, you know, because it's so painful to learn all these things, but it's been painful all my life. And it sort of opened up. I sort of started to have put things in context. I started to have some repressed memories come up. And a repressed memory is just, you know, you always, it's like something you always knew but didn't think about very much. And then it helped me to understand what happened to me and why it happened. It put it all in context, particularly the good genes versus the good dad thing, and the alpha and the beta, and women's dual mating strategy, what she called a pluralistic strategy of having great sex with, like I knew from, as I was getting, by the time I got out of high school, I already knew that there are men women like to have sex with, and then there are men that women marry. And I decided, and maybe this is not exactly right, but I decided I wanted to be the one that women wanted to have sex with. And I didn't want to be the sucker. And so I knew that from along, but other than that, I was totally whacked out. I had been abused and I had all these issues. And but I discovered the red pill. And I started to learn about how women are. And now I'm having a lot of success in dating. And I'm meeting the women that I want now. And I'm discovering my value. And I'm discovering that I'm really good looking and desirable. And, you know, I'm not really letting women push me around anymore. And I don't have the blue pill attitude that causes me to be in states of sexual scarcity. And I date non-exclusively. And I'm meeting the women I want. And so that's how I came to this. And then I've been doing podcasts. I did the Bible Study for Progressives, in which I wrote on the scripture readings for Sunday morning to help pastors have a progressive message to preach on Sundays. Then I started working on democracy. And I just did an event yesterday and reminding people about what happened on January 6th. And I did that for a while because I felt democracy was threatened. And then I discovered the red pill, and I just said, wow, liberal people need to be red pilled too. They need to understand because we're kind of getting a bum rap a lot of times, man, because we're demonized because of our as players. And as if we date non-exclusively, if we date other women, we're demonized as players. And we have to deal with this, you know, sex, you don't have sex unless you're exclusive with me type of arrangement that these women are demanding, you know, but it's a demand that's not based on anything but in helping them to avoid being second best. Because, yeah. So when you're dating multiple women, a woman can get hurt, right? One's going to end up second best. You're going to end up marrying one and not the other. But for a woman, if they keep you in that relationship where you only have you're exclusive, then they don't have to worry about that. But the man ends up with nobody in the end. So the man gets hurt. So it's really about who gets hurt, not about exclusivity or monogamy or anything like that. So I really recommend men find those relationships that can provide them with intimacy and affection and sort of as sort of move from there, you know, so that women can't push you around in the dating and try and make you give up all your options and capitulate to them. You just gotta, because you gotta be able to meet a lot of women to meet the women you want, you know, and you can't just go one at a time like that, or else you're not gonna meet the woman you want. So that's sort of where I'm at. And so now I'm feeling like this is a big thing, right? That a lot of men are turning to authoritarianism because they lost their authority. They don't want women to really change. They want women to be submissive. They want to go backwards, right? But if they went forward, they would see a route forward. But they want to go backwards, and they can't stand up to women. Now, even the red pill guys, you know, oh, women aren't going to change. That's not true. There's consciousness rising. We've changed as men. We don't yell at women on the streets, you know. We allow them to judge us. We allow them to be our bosses and supervisors, you know. We treat them with respect as best we can. We've changed our behaviors, you know. And so now it's time for women to look at their behaviors and see how their behaviors are harmful or toxic or not helpful to relationships and exploitative, abusive, entitled, you know. But if these men could only stand up to women, if they can only say, you know, hey, you know, I take my authority back. No. Learn how to say no. And they wouldn't need to turn to dictators. But anyway, it's something else. That answer your question, Calissa?
Yes, thank you. Now I'm going to Google you after and be like, where is your Gmail account? Questions, and I know it's, you're a pretty busy man, you know, from what you just said too. But I do want to pick your brain a little bit. I do have some questions. Is there a place we can submit questions to you? And if when you get a chance.
I'm gonna put my email in the chat right now,
Oh, okay, great.
and that way you can take that and ask me questions. And you know, we have this discussion. There it is. We have this discussion every month too.
Oh,
So,
you are a Gmail.
yes, I am a
Oh, just
Gmail.
sorry.
Yes, I am. So, all right. Thank you, Carissa.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for answering all that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Samuel. Thank you,
You're
Ryan. Thank you, Chris and
welcome.
Chris. All right.
Kristen.
All right.
You're welcome, Mr. Proceda.
Thank you, Ryan. Talk to everyone next month, okay? Next month. Okay. Bye.
Krista, you're from America.
Yes. Thank you, Samuel.